commodity broker, go to Kulovitz Pachido Commodities, joins us for the weekly Ag Market Recap. And well, Gordy, today on Friday, corn had a pretty good day.
Yeah, I mean, considering, you know, how we've been lately, this is actually a pretty decent day. And what's kind of interesting is, I mean, you look at some of the markets like wheat coming screaming back at the end here and, you know, kind of erasing an awful lot of downside. You know, pretty impressive stuff. So, you know, corn, we had some of these markets behave pretty well over the last, call it, week or so. You know, corn kind of had a cute little head and shoulders bottom, broke out of a key moving average, came back this week, tested that average, and bounced. So, I mean, all that action is really pretty decent action. You know, wheat had the same kind of a deal. They just basically belly flopped on the wheat. And you look at, like, say, Chicago wheat, you know, I've been mentioning it's kind of a head and shoulders bottom. And even with, you know, pushing it down this week, the rebound takes it back, and we're closing on the high of the week just under a key moving average. So, from a chart standpoint, it could look a whole lot worse. And the beans, there's a weird, funky head and shoulders bottom vibe to them. They got this big spike down, a rally back up. And again, they've been flirting with moving averages all week. And actually, even though they sold them off, they're holding that. So, I mean, it really seems like it could be a lot worse. And, you know, sales in China this week, all of a sudden they're back up and running. And, you know, a lot of outside markets seem to be holding. And today was an interesting day. We had the Fed governor speaking, kind of shaking things up a little bit, kind of clobbered things early this morning. And the markets, pretty much across the board, with the exception of gold and silver, managed to kind of firm their way back up a little bit. So, you know, pretty generally good week for commodities overall.
And so the corn charts then look pretty encouraging, even more encouraging than last week, because it kind of felt like a disappointing week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, really not bad. And now, you know, like May corn, only a couple cents off of the spike high. We had a spike up to 68.5. So our high today is going to be right around 68. Going to close right up there. So it wouldn't take much to punch through there. And then really our next series of highs are up in the mid-80s. And then long-term, you know, we had spike highs up over 7. So if we get through this high, it looks like the next real stopping point would be somewhere around that 80 to 85 mark. So it could be a nice little run if we can do it. And again, it's being backed up with, I think, the cash market. I mean, you look at the spread. July is basically, you know, 667.75. May 667.75. July 36.75. I mean, that's a big premium. I mean, normally in a year when we have an adequate carryout, we should be sitting closer to a carry charge. And you know, it's like that across the board. You know, May beans are at a big premium to July. You know, it's not that weird in wheat because, you know, if we start getting July, it becomes sort of new crop. But, you know, we're sitting with some, you know, still premiums across the board, and new crop is actually hanging in there pretty solid. So kind of implies that we're a little bit worried about new crop as well. So everywhere you look, there's kind of a good story, with the exception probably of bean oil, which has just gotten belly flopped on. But other than that, you know, the markets grain-wise look fairly good from both a technical and a fundamental side. You know, the weather forecast, it's cooler and wetter, and especially in the northern plains where they're really going to need to see some warming and drying. Next week, it's a little problematic for the upper Midwest. The central plains stay dry. And again, there seems to be more rain, you know, kind of rolling through the Ohio Valley, a place that probably could use just a little bit of drying at the same time. So lots and lots of issues out there right now. And, you know, after last year's kind of shortfall, in effect, the world needs to do okay. So, it, you know, we can do okay here, but if everyone else gets kind of comes up short, still doesn't help the cause very much.
Well, it sure had to help the cause for corn that China had a couple big sales announcements for this week.
Well, that's just it. I mean, it certainly helped out. And, you know, all of a sudden, China's back in buying again. And you notice they buy the big breaks. You know, when they push the corn market down, that's when they step in and pick it up. And again, I think they're doing the math. You know, Argentina dropped their corn and bean crop again this week. So even if Brazil gets the crop everyone's counting on, when you do the math for South America as a total, they're still probably going to be probably as short or shorter than they were a year ago. And, you know, Argentina's going to be a huge, you know, drain on Brazil's supply. They're going to be needing to import lots of corn and beans to make it up. And, you know, it's just going to put everything into kind of a squeeze. So And again, even though northern Brazil is kind of in decent shape, they keep getting showers. Southern half of Brazil is still dry, which means that that southern part could still end up losing a little bit. And even up north where things look good, 20% of the corn got in late, and that number's even bigger farther south, which again puts it in jeopardy of a frost toward the end of the season. So still have lots of issues down there. Spain is still really dry, which is kind of a key growing area in Europe. They're forecasting a normal monsoon in India, so we'll see how that pans out. But they usually do it this time of year, you know. I mean, they just, on average, you go with average. But, you know, the last couple of years, the monsoon's been kind of spotty. You know, some years way too much, some not enough, and they've been short. So we'll see if that pattern continues. And, you know, again, it's early in the growing season. It's hard to say if there's any kind of pattern with China yet. But, you know, going forward, they need to have a good crop because they were short from last year. So everyone needs to have a good crop just to get back kind of to average. And with carrots being tight, you know, it probably still isn't tight even with just a normal crop.
And the livestock this last week?
Yeah, it's been an interesting week. You look at the spreads. April cattle firmed up. They're going toward delivery, and they're at 74.75 today. The Junes are at 163.72 at a big discount. And, you know, they've been kind of drifting upward here. We kind of took a little profit at the end of the week. But, you know, cattle have been kind of on a pretty good tear to the upside. Back in the 22nd of March, these June cattle were at 154.37, and yesterday they peaked out at 166.27, and they're still well below cash. So they're overbought, but they're still under cash. And, as you go out into the summer months, the cattle are at a big discount, August or even cheaper. And I think some of that is the assumption by these funds that, you know, the Fed this week also said they think recession is likely when you look at the minutes from back at Tuesday. And I think the attitude is steak is optional, and if we go to recession, cattle could be in a big slump. So that's going to be the dynamic going forward. They're still well below cash, even if there is a slowdown. And, the question is how much of a slowdown and how quickly does it get here? And right now, you know, there's mixed economic signals. The Fed still thinks the economy is too strong. So, the cattle have been kind of drifting up just because cash is kind of grinding them. And I think also the funds probably got pretty short. And so we had a little profit taking at the end of the week. So we'll see what kind of momentum we have going into early next week. But right now, like I said, this week felt like commodities, the funds were a little bit more willing to step in and do some buying. So the cattle do have momentum going in. At the same time, the June hogs are on the other side of that equation. They keep drifting lower, closing the week on their lows. And, you know, they're still at a premium to cash. I mean, the Aprils are at 71.75, and the Junes are sitting at 86.87, kind of the inverse of what's happening with cattle. And you'd think it's the same kind of story, that if we have a recession and people start not eating, you know, especially eating the meats, that, you know, the hogs might be under pressure. But at the same time, supposedly this hog flu is in the Philippines and in China, and there's some talk that it could get severe yet. So in which case they're probably, you know, maybe getting a little too cheap. But we also haven't seen China stepping in to buy a bunch yet. So for the week, the pattern's back to buying cattle, selling hogs. And that means at bottom, just what the funds are dealing with more than anything else is just putting on that spread. So going into next week, same difference. The hogs are on their lows and working lower, and the cattle are on their highs and with upward momentum. So I think until something changes, that probably spread keeps on widening out.
And with the Federal Reserve governor doing his talking again and got us, as you alluded to, under a little pressure in the morning, the Dow's only down, a couple hundred as we're talking here Friday afternoon?
Yeah, it's down 201. It was down more than that earlier. So I think that's actually pretty decent action overall. You look at what we've had in the past when some of these Fed governors talked, especially on a Friday, that, that could really kind of change the world a little bit. And, so at least for next week, I don't see anything coming out of the Fed. So I think for the next 2 weeks, we're probably at least safe. Again, except for the fact that, these guys can shoot their mouth off at any time, but there's no actual Fed thing for the month of April. So that gives us at least a little bit of a break until May. But again, that doesn't stop these guys, like we saw today, from just deciding to come out and opine on the topic. But, it's kind of like a lot of topics, though. I mean, eventually it becomes old news. You look at the Ukraine war, all these other topics that at one point were really big deals, And eventually it just becomes background news.
Remember the bird flu?
Well, remember same the difference. Yeah. I mean, the bird flu's kind of faded away now, even though it's kind of resurging as it heads back, as you know, the birds fly north. Also on that topic of Ukraine, though, they are back to inspecting ships. Yesterday there was kind of a thing. They're blaming it on Russia for changing the way they did the inspections, I guess. But right now, though, the bottom line is they're back inspecting ships. So at least the grain thing is on. And one of the guys from Ukraine said the agreement's back to 120 days, but nobody's heard any confirmation from Russia on that. So they're still basically poking each other over there, but it sounds like at least they're back to inspecting some ships heading out the Black Sea.
The dollar still weakening up this afternoon?
No, it's bouncing back up. And again, some of that's probably the Fed talk with higher interest rates. The bonds are down, which implies higher rates. So the dollar's back up 59 points right now. So we're back over 101. But we're still kind of down for the week. And Lula's in China with a huge delegation. They're expecting to sign 20 agreements with the Chinese over the next week, talking about setting up a kind of a counterbalance to the IMF, which would be a lot fairer and less onerous. And on top of that, talking about getting rid of the dollar as far as a trading tool, that you know, it should be a lot easier to trade in other currencies. So long-term, that should continue to have sort of a negative impact on the dollar. So, you know, most of the news this week really should be somewhat positive for commodities in general.
Commodity broker Gordy Kolobets.